Happy Tuesday morning, Rickies. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 AM, Monumental Sports Network 2. Thank you for listening and or watching. We do appreciate that. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you need info on how to become one of their five-star technicians, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You got a unicorn, basically. It's basically midsummer, and you have a four-man junk show all in studio. It's kind of amazing. Cakes, Jason.
I'm here.
John Paul Flame.
What's up?
And Eric Pickle.
Good morning, buddy. How are you, my friend?
That is your foursome. I'm good.
Good.
I'm doing well.
Good. Did you, were you out and about when the flooding happened? I mean, I don't know that our area flooded, but oh my God, we got hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the weather was wild yesterday. I was not out and about. I had just run some errands, just come in from the grocery store with my wife, and then the skies just opened up.
Buckets.
For like 45 straight minutes.
And I know some areas really did get hammered hard. I don't know, was it Alexandria again? Wherever it was.
Probably.
I think it was all over the place. I mean, my daughter was in Arlington for grad school, and she said it was crazy there.
Like the flooding was crazy, like where cars are disappearing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It does make you wonder. And make sure there's certain places you just got to stay away from when it starts pouring like that, if you can.
Low lying, got to stay away. You're right.
Yeah, but I was shocked. We were out at Blue Mash actually, at the old haunt, and we were able to get it in. And as soon as we sat down, and I had my Heineken Zero, the flooding hit big time.
Yeah,
big time.
It rained pretty hard in my house too.
Are we good for today then?
It's not going to be as bad today.
Today, I think, yeah.
I mean, there are chances of some pop-ups, but not like yesterday.
Right.
I mean, that was a strong line that came through. That was big.
Right. Well, but golf courses are looking pretty good. They, you know, has it been the super, super severe weather where it's destroyed them yet? And they're getting enough rain.
Still hot as balls out.
Still hot as balls, that's for
still
sure.
Still humid as heck.
It's very swampy.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
But that's summer in D.C., find me a summer in D.C. where it's not humid and it doesn't rain a ton.
No, it's part of the deal.
It's just what it is.
Because I wished I lived in an area with warmer year-round and just less
humidity.
Rain. For me, less rain.
You gotta
like the rain.
You got to find that sweet spot.
I got to find that sweet spot.
You got to do some research.
Yeah, but you need the rain.
I don't personally need the rain. I understand the dirt needs it.
No, you're the golf courses need it.
Well, you know what? They have things called irrigation systems.
That doesn't help all the time.
You know,
we can only irrigate so much.
You go out to Arizona, they find a way. They keep those green. They keep those golf courses nice.
Same in Vegas. Somehow they have golf courses
in
Vegas.
They keep them nice.
I'm not sure how that's
done.
They
have irrigation. A lot more than what we have here.
They're
not
spending
just one
lot,
or two sprinklers.
They're spending a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
to
what they're doing.
Keep grass green out in that.
Yeah.
It's a desert. Keep grass green in a desert.
What is
I just don't get it.
In this country, what is the year-round perfect climate? Is it like San Diego?
I think it is.
That's the sweet spot?
For being out there recently, I mean, it's always sunny. I think it rains 9 inches a year, which is nothing.
That's perfect
and it's
for
like,
me.
It's like between 70 and 75 almost every day.
Probably from there all the way to L.A. I mean, Kelsey lived in L.A.
That band is probably
she
great.
Went... Yeah. Months without ever seeing it rain.
Yeah.
And the weather is in that sweet spot where it's not too hot, but obviously doesn't get too cold.
One thing with LA might
the problem
be a little
is you
bit
get the
too populated.
You get the wildfires.
I guess the wildfires, those happen.
Yeah, yeah, but now, LA's huge.
Earthquakes,
yeah.
Wildfires,
yeah.
Potential
yeah. They got issues.
Tsunamis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on out there that you trade
sure.
off for the good weather.
Arizona's just too hot. You know, in the summer.
I mean, Drab can attest to that.
Yeah.
Our buddy Bikey Botts said he would never move back there again.
Yeah.
He lived there for years. He said he would never, ever, ever do it again.
Right.
It's just unbearably hot.
I refuse for you to put that out there. Mikey Stotts is the one person in my entire life who didn't like living in Arizona. Screw Mikey. It's an amazing place that has fantastic weather. 9 months, 9.5 months out of the year.
But
and you get used to it.
But
you get used to it so quickly.
Yeah. I guess.
Mikey, if you're listening, please call in and provide a counterpoint.
I mean, let's be honest.
T-shirt.
The weather here sucks in July and August.
I just don't like the rain, and it's a little hot for my taste.
That's what
for
I mean.
Sure.
It's just the humidity is just.
But
just
I think
sucks.
It also sucks in January when it's butt cold.
Agreed.
You know,
January and February suck.
Butt cold.
So maybe 4 to 5 months, 5 out of the 12, it sucks.
I got good friends who live in Florida. They love it. They live in Tampa, and they're not going anywhere. They just love it.
Yeah. Got some neighbors just put their house on the market. I said, where are you guys going? Florida.
Yeah.
Which part?
I think Tampa.
The Fort Myers part is nice,
I think
too.
That area.
It's really nice.
I saw someone the other day who was making the argument that Tampa by far is the best city in America to live in.
Really?
He said he was visiting San Diego. He said San Diego's nice, but it's well behind Tampa for a place to
live. Is that true?
Yeah. People who live there absolutely love it.
My friends love Tampa.
They love Tampa.
They love it.
Yeah.
And they're building all kinds of new like stuff downtown. They bought this beautiful new condos being built right by the hockey, whatever. What's the name of that arena?
Amalie Arena,
yeah,
I believe.
Like literally right there, and that's just a really, really nice.
I don't know what
Amalie
sells or what business they're in, but yeah, I think that's the name.
But they got golf courses everywhere, obviously, in Florida.
Sure.
I don't know.
But today's not going to be as bad as yesterday, I don't think.
In terms of what, heat?
No, the heat will be as bad. It's just the storms.
Yeah, like, get rid of these storms. I'm over them.
But you know what?
I just looked.
I looked at the 7-day forecast. Scattered storms every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
It's all good. We'll persevere.
We'll get through it. Hey, it's July 15th. We're halfway through the worst month of
yes, we are.
Of the year for sports.
You had the home run derby last night.
Had the home run derby.
I did watch some of that. By the way, could you guys do your part? I hit mine. Plus 440. Cal Rally.
I think we went 3-3.
I was not here for the weekend parlay, so yeah. I don't know.
My guy hit a home run, but then somebody tweeted me that there was a doubleheader, so I'm not even sure if he hit it in the right game.
No, you lost your bet.
There you go, lost.
Well, what you guys
yeah,
Raleigh, keep up with me.
You got Raleigh in there. You got Raleigh.
Our sweet spot is the football season.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to hit.
But we won't hit it for much.
It's where we're going to hit a weekend parlay.
We will, but we won't hit it for much.
I'm telling you, it's happening.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Not when you're betting.
This fall, it will happen.
Not when you're betting $10 to win $11,000. We're not going to hit that.
Well, I mean, let's.
If we're going to bet $10 to win $60, all right, we'll hit that.
Okay, well, within reason, it'll happen.
Cal Raleigh, big fat winner.
I knew when Wood went up there, and it was fun to watch Wood. I knew when he hit 16, I was like, that's nubs. Everybody was like raving about it on social media. They're like, oh, it's so fun. Yeah. You know, it's awesome, James Wood. And I'm like, dude, he put up a paltry 16.
He almost hit a 500-footer, though.
Yeah.
He did. And I was rooting for him.
Props to him. It's his second year in the league.
And
that's not his thing, though. That's not his thing. That just, you know, he hits it all fields. Everybody else is just trying to pull it. Even he was trying to pull it.
He didn't miss by much in terms of advancing. One or two home runs?
Yeah, I just thought 16 was nubs. I was like, nubs. I mean, I guess one guy got three. I think I was eating at
well,
that
once
time.
Once I saw Caminero get 18 and the,
Cruz
I think
at 21.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is over.
Yeah.
This is not going to end well.
And Raleigh advanced by an inch. The tiebreaker was the length of their furthest home run.
Right.
And his was 1 inch longer than his competitor.
Right.
So he advanced and then he ended up winning it.
I mean, I don't know. What did James have? Like a 476?
Something like that.
I think 45.
45.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the balls are juiced.
Balls just go.
But
I cannot believe that Donk kid robbed a home run. I don't know what he was thinking out there in the semifinals.
What happened?
There was like a 14-year-old kid who looked way too old to be out there, by the way.
Keep it to like 10 or 12 year olds.
It may have been in the final. I think it actually was in the final, not the semifinals. It was in the final when Caminero hit one to the fence. The dumb kid jumped up and pulled it back.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's a short wall out there.
He actually robbed him in the home run contest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to bed right before the final.
Yeah. And they gave it to him because otherwise.
They
did?
If they
took it away.
Him a home run.
Yeah, but they stopped. Caminero stopped.
Let's be honest.
He was like, what is he? What
the
is
contest
going on?
Is a fa- it's a farce. The only reason anybody around here cared is because James Wood was in it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to watch him jack it out.
It's always fun.
It's kind of fun.
It's always fun.
It's always fun. People watch it every year.
I like to watch.
I watch it for an hour and a half.
Skeptical about it always being fun.
I like to watch the prelim, you know, all the interviews on the field, and interviewing all the guys. And
it's fun to see the guys get excited. Yeah, I mean, overall, I was entertained for about an hour and a half.
You're entertained because there's nothing else on. in my opinion. That's why you're entertained.
I mean, yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't watch it if it was in the middle of football season.
I mean, if the British Open was on, I would watch that.
Sure.
I mean, you'd find so something much else. From, but,
you'd find another outlet.
Yeah.
But, is that this week?
Yeah.
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 By the way, Cal Raleigh is from the sticks. He's from the sticks of Western North Carolina. There ain't nothing going on in the town. He's from Silva, North Carolina. Look that up.
Never even heard of it.
It's like population 20.
Uh-huh. Where is
I mean,
it?
He's got to be the most it's famous way, person it's from
Western
that town,
North
right?
Carolina. It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
But I think his dad was a coach at, where was he a coach? Western Carolina, Drabby, his dad?
I'm actually not quite sure.
Something like that.
Who was it that had his like kid brother catching?
And that was him.
It was
Raleigh.
Raleigh, and the dad was pitching?
His dad was pitching, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I just saw a video online when he was 8 years old. I don't know if he was saying he was going to win the home run derby or he had just won a home run derby as an 8-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In his front yard?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
in
like a
in
dozen,
the middle of nowhere.
There's like a dozen notable people from Silva, North Carolina, including Johnny Oates, former Orioles manager, and the 66th governor of North Carolina, whoever that is. Dan Moore. I don't know who that person is.
Johnny.
But apparently, he's a big deal.
Yeah. Smoky Mountain High School. It's where Cal Raleigh went. So props to him.
Hey, by the way, whatever happened, because it was yesterday before the show, right, where we were talking about Conor McGregor and his hog. What happened with that? Like, did he address it yesterday?
I don't think he addressed it.
It was towards the end of the show. He didn't address it, but apparently he sent
Some nudes.
I can't believe
to Azalea Banks.
Doing. Azalea Banks, the rapper. Connor's so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, of course he's stupid, but why would you send nudes to the one woman out there who is always online ratting out people out?
I don't know.
Oh, is that her deal?
Well,
she always is like having these like fire hot takes and calling people out for being horrible people on Twitter and everything. Uh-huh. And why would he get involved with her? He's stupid. And what is he doing with his dong?
Yeah. And beyond that, he was just photographed. He's married or he has a girlfriend, longtime girlfriend, mother of his children.
Yeah.
He was photographed on a beach just hanging out with another woman.
Yeah, I mean.
He's like, you know, all over her.
Notorious and the most generous, blank hound. You know what I mean? The most generous.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's never even heard the word monogamy.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any idea what that word means.
Yeah.
Plus, he's been punched in the dome probably 5,000 times in his life.
I mean,
you think he's a logical thinker?
What was the movie we saw that you guys all hated and I liked?
Roadhouse.
I thought he was Roadhouse. I enjoyed it, he was very funny in it.
He was naked in that a lot, too.
He was
definitely showing his butt.
Yeah,
I think Valdez is intrigued by the weightlifting on his Johnson.
I couldn't quite understand what he had going on there. Like, what is he doing?
Is that a thing?
I guess it looks like it's a muscle. it needs a workout.
Is he actually hanging something off it?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell.
He said lifting weights. That's what the DM said, and then he had some sort of
thing.
Yeah, like some fishing line tied to a 2.5-pound plate.
Jesus,
what a weirdo. All right, a lot to get to on the show today. Coming up later, our pal Grant Paulson, who is in Atlanta for the Major League All-Star Game. He's going to join us coming up at 8. We'll get into the Junk Sports page and more next. Remember, you can always listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. There's no excuse for you not to listen to The Junks. By the way, Grant Paulson will join us coming up at 8 o'clock from Atlanta, site of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Yep, he's down there. Hot Atlanta.
He's got 4 kids now.
Yeah, did his wife just have a kid yesterday or the day before? Or
no, like a few days back.
A couple days ago. Yeah.
A few days back. Named, nice. Named after another president. We had a big discussion. All of his kids are named after presidents.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Apparently.
Even the girls are named after presidents?
Yes.
Really?
Reagan.
Taylor. Was it Taylor?
I think you may be right.
Hmm.
Not that's, sure. That's we a, actually haven't asked
quite,
Grant.
It's quite
he
a bit.
May well, be named after him. A president.
That's right.
Grant. Ulysses S. Grant?
Could be.
I think it's a Paulson tradition.
A family tradition?
I believe the kids are Reagan, McKinley,
okay,
Truman, and whatever the new one is.
That's definitely
Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely Prez.
That's all a cool, Prez. It's a cool family tradition.
I mean, you bet your whole life on it.
100%.
Put your kids' lives on it.
Yeah.
I mean, no one else named it.
Valdez, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm watching Jeopardy, which is almost every day, when I see presidents flash up there, I cringe a little bit. Because I'm not.
You're not.
I'm okay with it. I'm not great with it.
Not your wheelhouse.
It's not my worst category. It's certainly not my best. My worst category is like opera. I mean, there's a lot of worse categories.
You got like a 2.2% chance at a guess.
Well, you can't guess. You're going to lose money.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're playing by yourself.
Yeah.
2.2.
I just sit there like a mute and just look at the TV.
What's your best category?
Oh, anything sports related. Or, you know what? Also, like, stuff about
stadium
like,
names,
like
probably
companies, ticker symbols, stuff like that. Because I look at my stupid portfolio too much.
Yeah, you
those
do.
Those are probably my wheelhouses.
You look at it every day.
Every day, that's correct.
Oh, multiple times a day.
All right, let's jump into the sports page. Brought to you by my favorite team over there at the all new Malloy Chevrolet of Alexandria, where they got huge incentives. It means lower prices on your favorite models. Head on over. Ask for my guy. His name is Josh Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
Make it Malloy, Malloy.com.
He's not named after a president.
No.
I can't think of any Joshes that were president.
Or any Cochrans?
Nope.
You know, I was looking on CBS. They did a draft breakdown because they finished the amateur baseball draft. And they named R.J. Anderson, who's I guess he's a baseball writer for CBS Sports, named five teams that killed it in the draft.
Okay.
Those five teams are the Milwaukee Brewers, his opinion, of course, the Minnesota Twins, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles had a seemed like they had a billion picks.
Go Birds!
And the top team, the Washington Nationals.
Look at that. Look at the props.
What did they attribute it to?
They love their picks.
They love Willits.
They love the top three picks. They love the Landon Harmon kid, who's a third-rounder, high school pitcher out of Mississippi. They liked him. They said they had him as a top 30 prospect, and he went in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
They had Ethan Petrie. They got him in the second round. He's got huge power, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Outfielder from the University of South Carolina.
He's a big banger.
They just liked the overall draft.
I'm sure
the Nats.
You guys saw the video that the Nats put out of Willits training as a young kid, right? Mm-hmm. Like lifting, deadlifting, and just fielding grounders in his mm-hmm. his sick setup.
He was so smooth when he was 8 years old.
The smoothest,
right?
Just so good.
It's awesome.
So hopefully he's going to be a stud. In the fourth round, they took a pitcher from a high school in New York, Poly Prep Country Day School, Miguel Simi Jr.
Sounds very swanky.
Or Sime. I'm not sure if it's Sime
if
or Simi.
If you have Country Day in the name of your school, I just envision like this like 300-acre campus, just trees everywhere, just sky-high tuition.
Just an oasis.
I'm not sure.
It's like where Chris Webber went to. Was it Detroit Country Day?
Yeah.
I mean, I just... I think you're a bunch of silver spooners.
I don't know if where Poly Prep Country Day is.
I guarantee you it's nice.
We'll check it out. They took Coy James, a shortstop from Davie High School in North Carolina in the fifth round.
It seems like they took a preponderance of high school kids.
Well, four of their top five picks were high school players. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then they jumped into college. They took a catcher from Wright State in the sixth round. They took a pitcher from the University of Arizona in the seventh.
Drab doesn't like that pick. He hates the U of A.
Is it true?
Took another pitcher from University of Mississippi in the eighth.
Is it true that they largely, if not totally, avoided Boris Clients?
It's a good question.
I heard Tommy Lavero on it yesterday, and I think he was alluding to that. And I was reading somebody, and they were saying, yeah, they basically were. It was kind of a point of emphasis to avoid Boris Clients. And I heard Lavero say on somebody's show, one of our guys, that by the time Willits gets up, it'll be right when James Wood is leaving. So
it's a very good chance.
Yeah.
When James Wood is gone.
Yeah.
He gone. Well, they got him for four more years. So, yeah, I mean, he'll probably come up in about 4 years.
Right about when Wood departs, this kid will be up and ready to go.
All right. And that'll and in two more years, Matt Gore will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. This guy liked their draft.
I heard really others say they liked it too, that the idea of, you know, saving a little bit at the top and then spreading it around to the other guys to, you know, give them incentive to leave high school and not sign with their colleges. It's very smart. It's what the smart teams have been doing the last couple of years. So who knows? So, they all like to gamble on the high school kids.
So we opened up the show talking about the home run derby last night down in Atlanta. Cal Raleigh, catcher for the Mariners, who, of course, is starting for the American League at catcher tonight, wins the home run derby. He was the favorite, and he's the first catcher to win the home run derby.
Surprise. Mike Piazza never did it. Best power hitting.
I don't know if he ever was in it, but he never
catchers.
Won.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a bar time.
I don't remember it being Mike Piazza. as much prominence 20 years ago or so, like in Piazza's heyday.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
I mean, Cal Ripken won.
I still remember
it. Derby.
I don't remember it.
Oh, I think it was big back when Ken Griffey was in it.
Okay. I just don't remember
Cal Ripken winning it.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
So Raleigh has 38 home runs. The record for home runs by a catcher in a single season is 48 by Sal Perez of the Royals. So he did that about 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Mm. So he's certainly on pace and will break that.
Amazing for a catcher. So I just looked it up. Mike Piazza was actually in the home run derby twice and never homered. He is
the rules were different.
Who doesn't have a home run in the competition.
That's embarrassing.
So he did that in 1993.
Almost as embarrassing as Jazz Chisholm's 3 last night.
Was that when they just threw 10 pitches? Or
I'm not sure what the rules were.
Yeah, the rules were different.
But apparently he tried to redeem himself in 1994, went homerless again, and then tapped out. Man. Just not a home run derby
that is
guy.
Just brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal run out for Piazza.
So you got the All-Star game tonight. It'll be Paul Skeens against Tarek Skubal, two stud pitchers. So we'll watch a few innings of that.
What's your take on kind of the minor controversy surrounding the selection of the Brewers pitcher Mizorowski, who's only got 5 appearances in Major League Baseball? Like, the Phillies were all bitter,
right?
Because they thought Sanchez, one of their pitchers should have made the All-Star team.
Yeah,
and they went off saying, you know, it's for the best players. But this kid Mizorowski is a phenom a la Skeens, throws over 100 miles an hour on the regular. Mm-hmm. And it's an All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
So they put him in. I know that Dave Roberts said he's probably going to pitch in the 5th or 6th inning tonight. They want to bring excitement, try and build up a star, but he's only played in 5 Major League Baseball games.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't care
less. What side do you fall on?
If the guy has a flamethrower attached to his body and he only has 5 starts, put him in the game. Get him out there. Who cares? It's a dumb exhibition game.
Honestly, you want my honest opinion?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me one minute.
That's my top opinion, too. Yeah. But I have no problem with him being there.
Well, you would if it was a Nats player who was getting left off, who's been killing it all season. They put some kid in just because
they let Mizorowski in over
Matt
Gore.
Just because he's 6'10", you know, and he throws hard. Okay, I mean,
maybe.
I'm pretty nonplussed.
You guys might have, if the Nats were left off. I could understand why the Phillies players are bitter.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys have been grinding all year with three ERAs, and they're not in the All-Star game.
I think they're giving the guy a bonus anyway, right? Was the organization going to give them a bonus? I mean, we might find it silly, but for some of those guys, it's meaningful to make an All-Star team. And instead of making an All-Star team, which he deserved, they're giving it to a kid that's had 5 starts.
And what if that kid is better than him?
He is.
Okay.
But his resume isn't better.
I don't care about the resume for the season. If he's a better player and he has a better trajectory than the rando from the Phillies, put him in the game.
But it's not the prospects game, Cakes. It's the All-Star game.
I understand which game it is.
I know, but they also, I mean, guys get in there as starters who aren't as good as some of the reserves, but they get voted in.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I mean, that happens every year.
Manfred's turning it into more of a joke game versus what's supposed to be somewhat of a competitive game, in that they put Kershaw in there. You know, now they're just adding
that
like
a couple
legends.
Times.
Yeah, but Kershaw's going to the Hall of Fame. I don't have a problem
with that. Yeah. By the way, the Home Run Derby started in 95, EB. Your guy, Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt, the first home run derby winner, and then you go through it. Griffey won it in 94.
Mm-hmm.
You said yeah, it started in 95.
You know what? I went, it's actually further back. My bad.
Yeah. Because if Cal won, he probably won in like 91, 92.
Yeah, I think it's longer than that.
I think it was 91.
JP's giving us bad intel.
Dave Parker won it in 85.
Okay. Just keep going back.
I just don't remember it being as prominent, but, you know, what do I know?
I think it started blowing up with Griffey and Bonds. Ripken won it in 91.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Its heyday was when Griffey hit it off the warehouse in Camden Yards in 94, 90, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was going head toe to toe with Bonds.
94 was Three Rivers. 95, Frank Thomas. Bonds, 96.
I do remember Cal because Cal kind of had out of nowhere had that unbelievable season in 91. And remember him winning that, now that you mention it.
Griffey won it in 98 at Coors Field. Griffey won it in 99 at Fenway.
One of the more iconic ones for me is when Bryce won a couple years ago.
Was that 18?
Whatever the hell that was, right? You know, right before he was with the Nats, his last season or whatever.
Yeah.
That was
at Nats
one.
Park, wasn't it?
His dad.
Yeah, it was here.
Dad was throwing.
Yeah.
And he told his dad to hold up the trophy.
That's pretty cool.
He was going crazy. All right, I'm sure we'll get into it, the McLaurin stuff, because another receiver signs a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Garrett Wilson of the Jets. He's going to sign a four-year, $130 million deal, $90 million in pocket. So that gives him about $32.5 million per year. So your top five receivers in terms of your salary per year, Chase, Jefferson, CD, Metcalf, and now Garrett Wilson.
I woke up this morning and saw a tweet at Junks Radio from Kelly, who's a longtime listener to the show, and she said, uh-oh, he's changed his IG profile.
Terry McLaurin has.
I don't know if that's a big deal if McLaurin changed it. I don't study his Instagram.
We looked at it last week, and I can't remember what the picture was, but it didn't say Commander. There are a redskin on it. It's just said athlete.
But it had a lot of pictures of the Commanders.
Yeah, that's still there.
Does. Okay. Those still are all there. Still there.
He hasn't looks done like the he's whole on his honeymoon thing. Or they're just vacationing in Europe or something. Mm-hmm. He and his girl.
I'm gonna get married a while ago.
He did get married a while ago.
Sometimes you wait though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It looked like Italy. I've never been. JP may have to verify. The pictures looked like Italy, but I could be wrong.
He doesn't look like he's sweating it too much.
He's somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, initially, when I saw that, I thought, that's good. It's more information. I think the more these receivers are signed, it slots people. And, sure, Garrett Wilson's younger, but I think Terry's numbers measure up favorably.
Right.
He's older, so that's obviously the factor that everyone's struggling with.
Six
but I think
older.
It's better for the situation.
And I also think that now...
More information.
Now they just walk in and say, well, 32.5 is now our baseline. Whereas, last week, I feel like he could have signed for, 31 or 30.5 million. Like, I just don't feel like that number's in play anymore for him.
Feel like
as far as average per year.
I feel like it's going to have to be 2 years guaranteed, whatever that number is, and then a third-year option.
Yeah, he may not get as much guaranteed upfront money because he's older, but I would think his AAV is going to come in right around Garrett Wilson's at 32.5.
I think so. It gives him more information.
Like,
It just distances you from that Mike Evans argument, even though
totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
But he's not going to get the $90 million guaranteed.
Not going to get 90. He's not going to get that
paid.
Much. But he's going to get 2 years, and it's going to start with a 3.
It's definitely going to start with a 3.
Yeah.
But Garrett Wilson's 24, so that's why he's getting.
It's obviously different.
$90 million.
Guaranteed. But it's met his numbers. I mean, right now, production wise, I mean, they're right there with him.
Yeah,
not ahead of him.
All right. Last but not least, the Wizards said bye bye to Rishon Holmes yesterday. They requested waivers on the Veterans Center. 9-year vet arrived to his fourth team in the Wizards at 2024 during the trade deadline. And, of course, Washington traded Daniel Gafford to the Mavs in exchange for Holmes and a first-round draft pick. And they said, bye-bye. Went on to appear in 48 games and averaged about 7.5 points per game, shot 61% from the field.
Care to guess his career earnings? Rashawn Holmes, 10 years in the NBA.
I remember looking him up. I think we did this one time when we did the morning matchup.
I do love getting in people's pockets.
I think he's about $11 million per season. So over his career, he's probably made about 50.
I mean, you're
64.
Close.
64.
You're closer. He's made $61 million.
Who is this?
Rashawn Holmes.
Oh, unbelievable.
This is the thing about the Rashawn Holmes decision. they're going to be very rebound challenged right. this season. Alex Saar better develop into like Dennis Rodman, because
he better get 12 or 13 boards.
They're not going to have really any bangers on the inside.
Yeah.
So now they're down to 17 guys on their active roster after the Holmes dismissal.
That's how many a lot of guys.
How many can they carry?
Many big guys.
They carry 15?
I don't know what that number is. Now? I don't think it's more than that.
Okay. I think it's 15.
Wiz, by the way, back in summer league action tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight.
I was hoping they were playing last night.
Be sure to check that out.
Nice. You get to see some Trey Ball, Trey Johnson, you get to see Will Riley.
He's fun to watch. Now I'll have to lock in on Riley now that he's intrigued you.
He's tantalized JP with his skill set.
Tantalized JP.
He hit 3 out of 4 threes
right.
Yeah.
In the last game.
It's pretty good. All right, don't forget, later in the show, Grant Paulson, one of the hosts of Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. He's going to join us coming up at 8. He is at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Atlanta. My next statement is going to upset people that are in this cult, but I don't care. This is my opinion, and solely my opinion only.
Good. I like it when you get out there, Cakes.
I gave this place another try when I was in Vegas on a dinner break.
Mm.
I'm sorry. In-N-Out Burger is very meh.
Yeah, I know.
It's very meh.
Overrated.
Yeah. It might be the most overrated place on the planet.
I've had it once. I just had a bad burger. I had it once years ago. Yeah, but it was average.
It's just meh. It's fine. It's not... It's not terrible, and certainly not great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of right there in the middle. Yet people rave about it like it's the second coming, like it's the greatest place on earth. I was kind of just whelmed.
I think a lot of those places, the reputation precedes themselves in a way that it's like bizarre. You know, like In-N-Out Burger, Carl's Jr., all mm-hmm. those places.
I mean, it couldn't have been more crowded. Now, again, it's on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah,
it's tucked in front of, I can't remember which casino it is, maybe near like, it might be near the Flamingo. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little further down the strip. And it's not quite on the actual like walkway. It's down in front of like a big retail area in front of one of the casinos. But there were a billion people in there, of course. I mean, line out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed something quick to eat during like a 75-minute dinner break. Because I had to walk there, eat, walk back. I mean, it was fine, but you know, I think that's my last In-N-Out trip.
What's your favorite burger? Is there a spot here?
I'll tell you, that my
is your
new
number
favorite,
one fave.
My new fave is it Habit Burger?
Habit Burger is very good.
My new fave.
I just had it. It's really good.
I've been there like 3 times. Literally, not lying. I'm not a big burger guy, so I don't hit all the spots. I don't, you know, whatever. I'm sure you have 10 places that you like better. Fine, but for me, great. And they have those tempura.
Green beans
with
the spicy ranch.
You dip in the ranch.
Yeah,
I always get the extra ranch. It's my new spot now. Love it.
I have some freebie cards in my car. I can.
You have some more?
A few of them.
Really?
I got a few.
He asked me for mine the other day.
I got a few.
I actually asked Jason was driving me, and he was like, "I was like, do you ever go to that Habit Burger, dude? Because I'm out.
I haven't gone
volleyball.
I mean, it's on Rockville Pike. It couldn't be more convenient.
Why go to the one in?
There's one right near my house.
Yeah, there's a few around.
Give me that one. Give me all your cards. It's silly.
I had a meeting with them about a month ago.
Yeah.
We met up. We had a lunch meeting.
I know. Cough up some of the
cards. I want you to ship it.
They're in my car.
I mean, I got a couple, but it sounds like you're still sitting
on
a few.
I'm kind of hoarding them. I'm Leroy hoarding them.
Are you supposed to pass them around?
Yeah, I think I passed some to the boys
he
behind the
pass
glass
some
and,
around.
And Mike Marvin.
He didn't
I never
pass
got
around,
one.
But sit, you know,
I've been away them. For a while.
I've got zippy cakes.
I might have given a couple to my son.
Okay, I get it. You should.
Spreading the wealth.
Give some to my son. He's freaking brokey.
Yeah.
They have them in New York?
I don't believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I know this. I've had my last In-N-Out burger.
In-N-Out.
I'm done.
What are the other burger spots that everybody like kind of raves about? They're like, oh, you got to go. And I've seen lines. I remember when we were in Colorado, I was there for Maris played the Air Force. And the lines around those places were unbelievable. It made Chick-fil-A look like a nothing burger. You know, like 50 cars.
Sure.
I'm like, who does that?
I don't know.
Really, Five Guys is no different than In-N-Out. It's just a local regional place that people grew up
eating and loving.
And they just want to support
it. And then it expanded. I mean, you ask people in Colorado or whatever, they probably don't love Five Guys. They're theirs. Everyone's going to have an opinion on it. People in Southern California grew up eating In-N-Out.
Yeah.
So it was special to them. And then it spread out across the country.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I don't have any affinity for that one either.
Well, I mean, a lot of people here obviously love Five Guys. I mean, it's
Do you know how much better Five Guys fries are than In-N-Out? In-N-Out's paltry little shoestring fries, cardboardy, just nothing.
Yeah.
Five Guys are, those fries are, first of all, they're nuclear hot. Because they come right out of the fryer when you get them. Like, they're so hot, like if you're grabbing the bag, like the bag is almost too hot to handle.
Right.
Hmm. They're so good. They're like boardwalk fries. They're so ridiculously good.
We were driving back from New York, from like upstate New York this week. And my youngest is very picky.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she's simple. Like she likes McDonald's. There's a couple things she likes there. So we go to McDonald's. Fine. I like McDonald's. When I got the fries, I always love McDonald's fries. As soon as we get the bag, I dip my hand in and everyone's yelling at me because I'm taking their fries. I tasted it hot, which I love, but I could tell right away this batch not salty enough.
That's trouble.
And I didn't have the courage to say, can you please take this back and just hit that with some salt? Have you ever done that? Because I wanted them to take that salt shaker and hit me.
I've had,
because I knew it wasn't enough.
I've had not enough salt regret.
I had not enough salt regret.
It doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
Because they usually salt them perfectly at McDonald's. But a few times I've gotten them where there's not enough.
Yeah. You got to hit that shaker.
It's
you
got
to get a couple extra times for me.
Yeah.
I might have to go to Habit Burger today.
You should go today.
Yeah.
Should do
it's
it.
Silly. Just get the regular burger.
I'm just going to get the regular burger. And whatever the gift card covers. Yeah. Not get anything extra.
I think the gift card is just the burger.
You were not into the green beans. I'm just telling you.
I'll just eat the burger.
Tempura fried green beans with the ranch.
I'll take your word for it, but I'm just kidding.
You could throw some onion rings on the side, too.
I think onion rings are overrated.
Oh, I don't think they're overrated at all.
I think they're overrated.
I think onion rings are properly rated.
Valdez, this is right up your alley. So I have to say, I sleep on this. I do. I really do sleep on this. And this is something that's been happening for 50 years. But we had them yesterday after the round. I underutilize Old Bay. I do.
Because this wheelhouse.
This is your wheelhouse. Because we're like, we were trying to figure out what kind of appetizer to get for the boys. And
it was happy hour.
There were some weird choices there. And then they said wings. Well, everybody likes wings. They go, what kind of wings? Well, my one buddy is like Korean and he already likes everything. I'm like, I know you like everything spicy. I don't really get sized for spicy. So he said, Old Bay wings. I say,
nice. That's a winner.
I'm in. Winner. Yeah. I underutilize Old Bay on chicken.
You're an adobo guy.
I'm an adobo guy, big time.
I remember from your burgers.
I'm an adobo 99% of the time, and I have Old Bay sitting up there, but I don't use it enough on chicken. Do you use it all the time on like wings?
I think not only Old Bay wings,
Old Bay wings are great.
I'm gonna knock your socks off right now.
Okay.
Mix the Old Bay with honey on the wings.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Now you have like a
little sweet
and spicy.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very good.
And people have been doing Old Bay on wings for 20 years.
Oh, a long time. Yeah.
Dude, it's
a staple.
It for some reason I sleep on that.
And then dipped in that blue cheese with all that Old Bay smothering it.
I'm not sure if we had blue cheese or ranch because I could go either way.
Same thing.
Yeah. But I'll use Old Bay on fries sometimes, right? And obviously crabs, but I don't use it enough. What else could I use it on? Burgers? Can you put Old Bay on a burger?
Sure. You can sprinkle some on
but
top.
I don't typically put it on your fries,
your tots.
Chips.
Old Bay.
You should put it on your popcorn.
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, it's a solid one.
Yeah, so that think about all that melted butter with the Old Bay and a bag.
Is that really good? Have you done that?
So good.
My daughter yesterday, Meg, she's home with us here for a few more months as I'm paying for rent in New York City. I don't know why. That she put chocolate chips in her popcorn last night.
Oh, sweet and salty.
Really?
It's a good mix. A
smart move.
Yeah,
melt some butter and then drizzle it in the popcorn. Throw some shake some Old Bay and then kind of just give it the old 1-2.
I underutilize it.
The popcorn bit that you'd prefer is the chocolate bit. I was introduced to that when Jess and I started dating. We'd go out to movies. Putting Reese's Pieces in the popcorn.
That sounds great, too.
Don't your fingers get all chocolatey, though?
A little bit.
That's what napkins, you know what? That's what napkins are for. And you can also stick your
tongue is for. Yeah, just lick it off.
I'm not doing the weird Tom Cruise one kernel at a time. I'm putting my hand in.
No, nobody
and
does
I have
that.
A bunch of Reese's Pieces and a bunch of popcorn.
That's right. The move.
And then I eat it.
My friends, or my friends, my family was making fun of me because they had this like, I don't know, like cool ice cream place that they like to go to in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. You know, like a mom and pop place and whatever. I just like there's a place. It's not Sweet Frog, but it's like Sweet Frog.
Okay.
I just like the frozen yogurt, and then you can put all the sugar in the
world. The
froyo
bit.
You can put the little gummy worms.
You know, people put Old Bay on ice cream.
I've never tried that. That's ballsy.
You should do it.
Hey, did you end up going to the waterfalls after all your complaining?
Of course.
The family wanted to go to the waterfalls, and you said you just wanted to hit balls.
I did not.
What'd you do?
I stayed in bed, and they went.
Oh, they went to the waterfalls.
Correct.
Hey, don't go chasing waterfalls.
I did not.
Did you like your hotel?
We stayed in. I stayed in one. Yeah. I stayed in one that's on. No, you know what I didn't like? I didn't like the beds. They were
too small.
They're the world's smallest. They're for small people.
they're for grandmas.
I want to say another word that they're for. But
I know
they're for small.
I know
people.
The word you want to say.
Yeah. I was complaining to all my buddies. I have a lot of people because it's right on campus. And I'm like, you pay so much money for this hotel. And they're the world's smallest beds. My wife ended up sleeping on, I was flopping around so much like a fish. I sleep so poorly.
You've got to bring your red light and your.
I slept so poorly. My wife slept on the floor.
Oh, wow.
She chose the floor.
She said, Eric.
Over sharing a bed with me.
Pretty fun.
That's how bad I am right now.
That's not great.
I just got to get back to drinking.
Yeah.
I sleep better.
You've been
just
saying that.
Pump those Heineken Zeros.
Dude, you're at 45 days. You're not going to start.
I'm going to eventually. I'm getting back on the horse, buddy.
Yeah. Are you?
Eventually.
Hey, nobody likes a quitter. No,
yeah, but
just remember that.
But I'll tell you, what might draw me back is being able to fall asleep.
Well, sleep is
important. I know everybody says alcohol ruins your sleep. No. Yeah, it does. When you withdraw from alcohol.
Yeah, which you're actively doing.
But you've been saying that for days, and you still haven't had a drink.
Yeah, because I'm just testing myself a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Just flexing my detox muscles.
Is there another reason?
Not really.
There has to be, because every time he says no.
Not really.
Yeah, there must have been a test or something. Yeah.
I had no test.
The doctor says
no doctor's stop. Appointment.
All right.
Nothing. There's a small thing that's been bugging me, but... And I wonder if alcohol contributed, but
okay.
I've been to no doctor.
Will you tell us off air?
Sure.
All right, when we come back, we are going to pivot. We're going to talk about Jason.
What?
Terry McLaurin's
of course.
Looming deal. Garrett Wilson gets a fat
what
deal
else are we gonna talk
with
about?
The New York Jets. Is that going to impact Terry's negotiations? We'll get into that next here on The Fan.